Extracts from Revelations of Divine Love by Julian of Norwich. These revelations were shown to a simple creature that had learned no letter in the year of our Lord, 1373, the 8th day of May. Reading 8. At this same time that I saw this sight of the head bleeding, our good Lord showed to me a spiritual vision of his simple loving. I saw that he is to us everything that is good and comfortable for us. He is our clothing, which for love enwraps us, holds us, and all encloses us because of his tender love, so that he may never leave us. And so in this showing I saw that he is to us everything that is good, as I understood it. Also in this revelation he showed a little thing, the size of a hazelnut, in the palm of my hand, and it was as round as a ball. I looked at it with the eye of my understanding and thought, what can this be? And it was generally answered thus, it is all that is made. I marvelled how it could continue, because it seemed to me it could suddenly have sunk into nothingness because of its littleness. And I was answered in my understanding, it continueth and always shall, because God loveth it. And in this way, everything hath its being by the love of God. In this little thing, I saw three characteristics. The first is that God made it. The second is that God loves it. The third, that God keeps it. But what did I observe in that? Truly, the maker, the lover, and the keeper. For, until I am in essence oneed to him, I can never have full rest nor true joy. That is to say, until I am made so fast to him that there is absolutely nothing that is created separating my God and myself. Reading 9. It is necessary for us to have awareness of the littleness of created things and to set at naught everything that is created in order to love and have God who is uncreated. For this is the reason why we are not fully at ease in heart and soul, because here we seek rest in these things that are so little, in which there is no rest. And we recognize not our God who is all-powerful, all-wise, all-good. For he is the true rest. God wishes to be known, and he delights that we remain in him, because all that is less than he is not enough for us. And this is the reason why no soul is at rest until it is emptied of everything that is created. When the soul is willingly emptied for love, in order to have him who is all, then is it able to receive spiritual rest. Also our Lord God showed that it is full great pleasure to him that a pitiable soul come to him nakedly and plainly and simply, for this is the natural yearning of the soul, thanks to the touching of the Holy Spirit, according to the understanding that I have in this showing. God, of thy goodness, give me thyself, for thou art enough to me, and I can ask nothing that is less, that can be full honour to thee. And if I ask anything that is less, ever shall I be in want, for only in thee have I all. These words are full lovely to the soul, and most nearly touch upon the will of God and his goodness. For his goodness fills all his creatures and all his blessed works, and surpasses them without end, for he is the endlessness. And he has made us only for himself, and restored us by his blessed passion, and ever keeps us in his blessed love. And all this is from his goodness. from reading 25. And after this, I saw God in a point, that is to say, in my mind, by which vision I understood that he is in all things. I gazed with deliberation, seeing and knowing in that vision that he does all that is done. I marvelled at that sight with a mild fear and thought, what is sin? For I saw truly that God does everything, no matter how little, and I saw truly that nothing is done by luck or by chance, but everything by the foreseeing wisdom of God. If it is luck or chance in the sight of man, our blindness and our lack of foresight is the cause. For the things that are in the foreseeing wisdom of God, from without beginning, which rightfully and honourably and constantly he leads to the best end as they come about, happen to us without warning, ourselves unaware, and thus by our blindness and our lack of foresight, we say these are luck and chance, but to our Lord God they are not so. Wherefore it is necessary to concede that everything that is done, it is well done, for our Lord God does all. For at this time the action of creatures was not shown, but of our Lord God in the creature. Reading 55. After this, our Lord God showed himself more glorified, as I see it, than I saw him before, in which I was taught that our soul shall never rest until it comes to him, knowing that he is the fullness of joy, simple and gracious, blissful and true life. Our Lord Jesus often said, it is I, it is I, it is I who am most exalted. It is I whom thou lovest. It is I whom thou enjoyest. It is I whom thou servest. It is I whom thou yearnest for. It is I whom thou desirest. It is I whom thou meanest. It is I who am all. It is I whom Holy Church preaches and teaches thee. It is I who showed myself here to thee. The number of these words surpasses my wit and all my understanding and all my abilities, and it is a most high number as I see it, because therein these words surpass all that heart can wish and soul can desire. And therefore the words are not explained here, but every man according to the grace that God gives him in interpreting and loving, receive them in our Lord's meaning. Reading 56. After that, the Lord brought to my mind the yearning that I had for him in the past. And I saw that nothing stood in my way except sin, and thus I observed universally in us all. And it seemed to me that if sin had not been, we would all have been pure and like to our Lord as he made us. And thus, in my folly before this time, I often wondered why, by the great foreseeing wisdom of God, the beginning of sin was not prevented, for then, it seemed to me, all would have been well. I ought much to have given up this disturbing wondering, but nevertheless I made mourning and sorrow about it without reason or discretion. But Jesus, who in this vision informed me of all that I needed, answered by this word, and said, sin is inevitable, but all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. In this unadorned word, sin, our Lord brought to my mind generally all that is not good, and the shameful despising, and the uttermost tribulation that he bore for us in this life, and his dying, and all the pains and sufferings of all his created things, spiritually and bodily. For we are all in part troubled, and we shall be troubled, following our Master Jesus, until we are completely purged. That is to say, until we are fully stripped of our mortal flesh, and of all our inward affections that are not truly good. And with the beholding of this, with all pains that ever were or ever shall be, I understood the Passion of Christ to represent the greatest pain, and even more than that. And all this pain was shown in one stroke and quickly passed over into comfort, for our good Lord does not wish that the soul be made fearful by this ugly sight. Reading 87. But sometime it comes to our mind that we have prayed a long time, and yet we believe that we have not received our request. However, because of this we should not be sad, for I am certain, in keeping with our Lord's purpose, that either we are to await a better time, or more grace, or a better gift. He wills we have true knowledge that in himself he is existence itself, and in this knowledge he wills that our understanding be grounded with all our might and all our purpose and all our intention. And on this foundation he wills that we take our place and make our dwelling. By the gracious light of himself, he wills that we have understanding of three things that follow. The first is our noble and excellent creation. The second, our precious and dear worthy redemption. The third, everything that he has made beneath us to serve us, and which, for love of us, he protects. What he means is thus, as if he said, Behold and see that I have done all this before thy prayer, and now thou art and thou prayest to me. Thus he intends that it is right for us to know that the greatest deeds are done as Holy Church teaches. And in contemplating this, we ought to pray with gratitude for the deed that is now being done. And that is to pray that he rule us and guide us to his honour in this life, and bring us to his bliss. And for that he has done everything. What he intends is this, that we understand that he does everything, and that we pray for that. For the one is not enough. For if we pray and do not understand that he does it, it makes us sad and doubtful, and that is not his honour. And if we understand what he does, and we do not pray, we do not do our duty. And that way it cannot be. That is to say, that is not the way he sees it. But rather to understand that he does it, and to pray also. In that way is he honoured, and we are helped. Reading 89. Prayer wins the soul to God. For though the soul is ever like God in nature and essence, restored by grace, it is often unlike God in its external state by sin on man's part. Then is prayer a witness that the soul wills as God wills, and it comforts the conscience and inclines man to grace. In this way he teaches us to pray, and mightily to trust that we shall have what we pray for. For he looks upon us in love, and wishes to make us partners in his good will and deed. And therefore he moves us to pray for that which it delights him to do. For these prayers and good will, which we have as his gift, he will reward us and give us endless recompense. And this was shown in this word, If thou prayest for it. In this word, God showed as great pleasure and as great delight, as if he were much beholden to us for every good deed that we do. And yet it is he who does it. And for the fact that we pray to him mightily to do everything that pleases him, as if he said, How couldst thou please me more than to pray to me mightily, wisely, and willingly to do the thing that I am going to do? And thus the soul by prayer comes to agree with God. When our gracious Lord by his particular grace shows himself to our soul, we have what we desire, and then we do not see for that time what more we should pray for. but all our purpose with all our might is fixed wholly upon the contemplation of him. This is an exalted, incomprehensible prayer as I see it. For the whole cause for which we pray is to be oned to the vision and the contemplation of him to whom we pray, marvellously rejoicing with reverent fear and such great sweetness and delight in him that for the time being we can pray absolutely nothing except as he moves us. Reading 162. And then our Lord opened my spiritual eye and showed me my soul in the midst of my inner self. I saw my soul as large as if it were an endless castle and as if it were a blessed kingdom. And by the circumstances I saw in it, I understood that it is an honourable city. In the midst of that city sits our Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, a handsome person and of tall stature, a most exalted bishop, a most solemn king, a most honourable lord. And I saw him arrayed with great pomp and honour. He sits in the soul calmly upright, in peace and repose, and he rules and guards heaven and earth and all that exists. The manhood sits with the Godhead in repose, and the Godhead rules and guards without any agent or activity. And the soul is all occupied with the blessed Godhead, who is supreme power, supreme wisdom, and supreme goodness. The place that Jesus takes in our soul, he will never move it away forever, as I see it, for in us is his most familiar home and his eternal dwelling. And in this he showed the delight that he has in the creating of man's soul, for as well as the Father had the power to make a creature, and as well as the Son had the knowledge to make a creature, equally well did the Holy Spirit have the wish that many souls be made, and so it was done. And therefore the Blessed Trinity rejoices without end in the creating of man's soul, for he saw from without beginning what would please him without end. Reading 194. This book is begun by God's gift and his grace, but it is not yet completed, as I see it. For the sake of love, let us all pray together with God's working, thanking, trusting, rejoicing. For thus would our good Lord be prayed to, as is the understanding that I received in all his own meaning, and in the sweet words where he says most merrily, I am the basis of thy praying. Truly I saw and understood in our Lord's meaning that he showed it because he wished to have it known more than it is. And in this knowledge he will give us grace to love him and cleave to him. For he beholds his heavenly treasure with such great love on earth that he wills to give us more light and solace in heavenly joy, by drawing our hearts from the sorrow and darkness that we are in. For the time that it was shown, I desired frequently to know what our Lord's meaning was. And 15 years after, and more, I was answered in spiritual understanding, saying thus, Wouldst thou know thy Lord's meaning in this thing? Be well aware, love was his meaning. Who showed it thee? Love. What showed he thee? Love. Why did he show it thee? For love. Keep thyself in that love, and thou shalt know and see more of the same. But thou shalt never see nor know any other thing therein without end.